You. If you would turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. And in our looking, as we have been, at God's wonderful person, which we discover how wonderful that is by way of his names. And his name communicates the person, the character, the quality. And as we've been looking at the names and the conditions on which they were given, and remember Gideon, the Midianites had made a terrible oppression, trouble, war, as it were, for the Israelites. And after 7 years, God raised up a man named Gideon. And Gideon was to go to war against them. Gideon came face to face with God. Personally, he knew about God. He didn't know God. And God introduced himself to him. And Gideon said, "I'm surely going to die to come face to face with God." And God said, no, he wasn't. And God and Gideon then responded, as historically was done. And Gideon made an altar sacrifice, an altar to worship God. And thus he named that occasion Jehovah Shalom, or Yahweh Shalom, peace. Jehovah, the Lord is our peace, or the Lord is peace, peace. God spoke peace to him, and Gideon gave it back to God. Let there be peace, Jehovah. Peace, you are our peace. You are peace for us. And we looked at that word in the Old Testament to remind ourselves of its wholeness, completeness, perfectness. Nothing is missing. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing needs to be done to it. It's perfect. A perfect wholeness. Thus they have the word wellness, health, soundness of mind. Perfect. And thus untroubled, undisturbed, unperturbed. Nothing bothers it. It's a perfect tranquility. Not perfect in nothingness. It's tranquil having everything. It's a perfect tranquility. Having everything everywhere, knowing everything, having everything, being everything all at once. Perfect peace. Now, having said that, over in Luke chapter 11, where you might be, and you would remember, if I can, as in Matthew, so it is here. In Luke chapter 12, and picking up, please, in verse 51, our Lord Jesus said, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And thus there is, God said, listen, I came to save. Humanity is at war with God and their old nature. Men love darkness rather than what? Light. God is light. Men love darkness. God is life. Men would rather live separated from God, which is life. Death is the absence, being separated from the body physically. Physical death. Spiritual death is being separated from God. And all of that is in contention with God. It's no harmony. No peace. enemies. And God has, because of his death on the cross, he has made it possible to reconcile, to bring together, to restore a relationship that's missing by way of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in doing that, he has to save people out of the system, out of ourself. And God does that. And so he didn't come to make everything hunky-dory and everywhere. He came to get people, to rescue them. And that's what he's doing. And thus in the process, Luke 13, as we read, verse 51, he didn't come to send peace, but a sword. That's what he came to send. Now, and thus, and you would have that in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 34. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to the Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8. And Israel will be our example. And you would recall, you know, just to keep it in front of you, in your mind, that in 1 Thessalonians 5, in the coming of our Lord up ahead, they're going to say peace and safety. That's what men want. You know from Revelation 6 that the Antichrist comes in with peace. We're looking for peace. We're looking for safety. The Antichrist comes in with peace, the peace offer. And that's how he comes in. It isn't real peace. Hang on. God, Israel, will help us now. Jeremiah chapter 8, and going, if I can, to picking up, remember, Judah. Judah has got out of whack with God, and the priest and the prophet, the end of verse 10, Jeremiah 8:10. I might as well read it. Therefore I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to them, and they shall inherit them. For every one that is the least, even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one that dealeth falsely. So the whole system, God's going to cause the situation in Israel to just be abandoned, to be taken captive. And the reason, verse 11, for the priest, the prophet, etc., they have healed the hurt. They have sought to mend, to bring together, to heal, to make it all come together. They have sought to heal the hurt of the daughter of my people, saying, how do they try to help them so that they're encouraged and they're feeling good about themselves? Saying, my daughter of my people, slightly, very insignificantly, very lightly, with no small, it isn't even worthy talking about, slightly, saying, what were they saying? Peace, there's your word, when there is no peace. So they're preaching peace, pushing peace, and promoting it. And that's what our day is headed there, to that kind of mood. We're looking for that. And it isn't just in our country or in a given location. It's global. All kinds of conditions. Oh, there's the different power blocks all over, from China to Korea to everywhere else. But the general populace would like to have some kind of security, financial and otherwise. So here when they're saying peace when there is no peace. So they're promoting a peace. Secondly, when that isn't going to work, and Jeremiah spells it out. So when you get down to verse 15, the question, well, they're looking for peace. Peace is being preached to them. But verse 15, we looked for peace. We were expecting peace. We were told there would be peace. We know that would all work out. But we looked for peace, and no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. We were looking to make the situation better. We were told it was going to get better and get better and get better, but it didn't. Sliding all the way down to verse 22. That is not going to help Israel. I'll even read verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold of me. Is there no balm? Is there no resin? Is there no the tree that they would use that to make ointment and other medicines? And not only was the tree there in Gilead, but the physicians, they all had set up headquarters where people would come from all over to get so healed. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not, if that's there, physically for us, if the medicine's there, the doctor's there, why aren't we having any health? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why, with all the stuff we got going, why don't we have peace? Why don't we have health? We got so much going. Or do we? Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so now, if you would, over in your Bible, over to Isaiah. Isaiah, if you would, please. Remember, Israel is not where it should be, could be. And God is going to deal with the nation by way of the Assyrians. And then in Isaiah's day, ultimately, he's going to tell us about the Babylonians that are coming into Judah down in the south, Jerusalem. So here in Isaiah chapter 48, you will pick up the thought, the wonderful admonition that Israel was to understand, what are they missing? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And they're saying, it'll come. Just be of good cheer, it's coming. But it doesn't come. And therefore, with all the system, the health, the healing, the balm in Gilead, the physician, but we don't have any health. There are no answers. No answers coming. Aha. Verse 16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now, I'm back there and now, the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. So here is the Messiah, and God the Father, God the Spirit of God, and the Son. All three and all stated in one shot. Thus saith the Lord, verse 17, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. If you would just have learned and paid attention, but you didn't. If you had paid attention, what on earth might be the benefit? Verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. I would have flowed like a mighty river, endless flow, like God will have in the future. Out from the throne of God comes the river of God forever. And it gets bigger and bigger as it grows. Wow. God said, listen, if you had just paid attention, guys, and didn't listen to the priest and prophet, because they were telling you a lie. They were telling you and they weren't telling you the truth. There is no peace. There is no peace. Verse 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There isn't any. And the wicked has to do with that wholeness, the lack of wholeness, the lack of well-being. Wickedness. They know not, they have not. And thus, in verse 18 again, I would have been giving you peace like a river, and righteousness as the waves of the sea. And they go together. Peace and righteousness all come together in a wonderful way. Would you slide down with me over to Isaiah chapter 32, staying in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32. Remember, if you guys were looking, you would have had just paid attention to me. You know, everything doesn't have to go well, as you'll see if the Lord tarries and we make it another minute or two, if we go that long, then what will happen? Well, things are troubling. God said, I allow a lot. The whole world's in trouble. In fact, you're headed to deep trouble. You're headed to very muddy waters. You're going to go into great tribulation. But I'm going to take you up before then. But that's where the world's headed. So if we could just have a little peace, a little something, you know, it's real good. I was just told down I had a friend going back to Pennsylvania, and he said that gas in that place is $3.07. Wow, you almost want to drive to New York to get it, you see. Wow, that's good news. No, it isn't good news. It's $3 still. That's not good news. Now, so in the light of that, in God's peace needs to be honored and not pick up the world's thought, the world's thinking, or your own. You have to be very careful, as we shared before, that you don't bring and take the Bible and try to take your explanation and make the Bible and make it, read it with your explanation, or read the Bible with your experience, not your explanation and not your experience. And we do it. It's part of us. It's how we do everything. It's how we look at people, how we look at work. It's part of it. We have to back off. So we don't do that because it messes us up. And we're trying to bring our influence into it so that we can fit it together in our little world here. And we force it in. We force the truth of what God said into that which is untrue. And we push it in here and we try to hold it and hug it and hope it works, but it doesn't work. There is no peace. Now, Thus, there is no profit. There is no being prosperous. The relationship that God would give between himself and a human heart, all those benefits are missing. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32, may I go directly in the light of God's dealing with Israel, in the light of the future. And verse 17, picking it up, you get the thought. Now the work, that's labor, to work, to do, to execute business. Now, the work of righteousness, the effect of righteousness, what does righteousness do? Righteousness makes for peace. Righteousness would be as the waves of the ocean. Peace as a river. I don't know what that is, whatever that is. They should have known, but they didn't. The work of righteousness, the effect of righteousness, shall be peace. And the effect, and that word has to do with result. The result of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Quietness and assurance forever. The effect, the result of that kind of, and the word there, labor, work, the result, that which you put effort into, like it's a military, if you've been in military service or something. And what's it going to produce? Well, it will produce quietness in verse 17 and assurance forever. And thus that undisturbed quietness, the product of righteousness, quietness and security, assurance. And that's going to set God's what I'm going to do. Verse 18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. You want peace, you'll get it. But you're going to have to put me in the right place. And they have God out of place. They wanted peace. They listened to everyone. They didn't listen to God. Therefore, their peace was not like a river. Their righteousness was not as the waves of the sea. They missed out on all of it. They had no effect. Peace didn't produce rightness, and rightness didn't produce peace. They got up with nothing. Nothing at all. So now having said that, if I can, Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And again, sort of going backwards, but getting the mood of it, so you have it. Isaiah 30, and picking up, please, in verse 15. Isaiah 30 and verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. That means get back where you should be, keep your heart, get your heart right with God by way of the cross. Confess your sin, repent, get your heart right with God. Stay right with God. Don't try to run. Don't try to worry and get in the place where you're resting. Returning and rest. Stop and rest. And that person shall be saved. Very safe, delivered. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. If you just stop and be quiet, a tranquil heart. If you just have that, peace would be like a river. Your righteousness is the waves of the sea. If you'd just done that, that's all. But they said there'd be peace, and we hope it would come without us having to make peace with God. You see? We can go and have everything this way, and we never have to get right with God. You have to get right with God. You want peace? Whether it's this way, that's immaterial. You'll get it this way. You'll never get it this way without going to God. Therefore, in quietness and confidence should be your strength. And that's a wonderful, and you're just resting, you're going to be saved. And in quietness and confidence, you'll be very strong. That's a wonderful opportunity, isn't it? And you know the last three words, what? They wouldn't do it. Isn't that interesting? They just wouldn't do it. The other didn't work, but it didn't matter that it didn't work. We haven't tried everything. We're going to keep trying and trying and trying and trusting and doing our thing, but we never get there. And so people spend years of their life trying to get there. They could have got there in 2 minutes, the minute they yielded their heart to God and really did it. They're there. Then they'd have to work it out, but they'd be there. Wouldn't be having to hunt for it anymore. No, not anymore. Thus, or if you would please, in the light of that, and therefore, by the way, you know the great section this is, go to verse 18 at least. Now therefore, since they wouldn't do it, therefore will the Lord wait. What for? That he may be gracious unto you. Why doesn't God just clobber everybody and eliminate them? Well, he doesn't, because he said, this is, I know all flesh is as the grass of the field. And I don't... They're the only ones that are frustrated. I already know they can't produce. They don't have the rightness. They don't have the power. And they are rejecting my saving solution given in my Son. Verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted when he's able to be gracious. So when you receive the grace of God, God is honored and glorified. That purpose, that he may have mercy upon you. Think of Sunday, mercies. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed, happy are all they that want. They'll wait for him. See, God's waiting. And God said, blessed is the person that will wait. See, but I got to have it now. No, you don't have to have anything now. As you'll see if I can just get there. You don't have to have anything now for peace. No, you don't. I find it. No. Over, if you would, Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. And picking up in thought in verse 12, in the light of God's great movement with Israel, etc. Verse 12. The Lord, Lord, thou wilt ordain to set, to put to place, to set salvation, to permanently establish something. Thou wilt ordain what? Peace for us. God will establish peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When he comes, he makes peace. He does it with a rod of iron. He makes peace. Now, in verse 12, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hath wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, and we yielded to them. They said, peace, peace, and we listened to this one, and we did that, and we did this, and we did that. We had them, and we let them govern and guide us. Other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. God, we are the system. There's no one else that's Lord of lords and King of kings except you. So God, I'm not going to spend 10 more years trying to find that out. I'm not going to test 10 other people and 10 other solutions and 10 other ways and hope I'll come up with an answer. I got it. No more. God, no more. And that's why Israel is in captivity in part. And that's why God sent them to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Why? If there was a place that idolatry flourished, it was Babylon. God taught them not to honor any idol anywhere, anyhow, by putting them smack dab in the middle of idolatry. And you know what? Did they learn the lesson? Absolutely. Absolutely. And all through history now, you're very hard to find Jews caught up in something. They got that lesson. They've got it. Oh, they're going to have, it's weakened like everything else. And it's going to go in another direction somewhat. Now, in the light of that, Isaiah 26, the lead into it, you know. Isaiah chapter 26, and in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him, the believing heart, keep guard, him in perfect peace, whose mind, the mental thought process, how you think, whose mind is stayed, resting down, supporting, like the pew is holding you up, you're putting all your weight down on it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. The word perfect is peace, so double peace, perfect peace, peace, peace. Can't have any more of it. Total perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why is that? Because he's trusting. He is continually to be trusting in you, in thee, in God. And thus the statement now is going to be made. Verse 4, therefore, if you're going to trust in God and it produces that, then, in large print, big letters, and rightly so, it's a command, verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength, and in quietness and confidence would be your strength, and they wouldn't do it. God said, I'd do it, but didn't happen. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to the New Testament, and back over to Philippians again. And in the Philippians, and in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And you will note, chapter 4, remember, without the epistle to the Philippian believers. And I'm going to go directly, if I can, to verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. It's a command. Present tense, don't be doing it. but in everything, on the contrary, in nothing. So that means you don't have anything to worry about, be anxious about. Secondly, you're going to go, but in everything, on the other hand, you're not going to worry about it, anxious about it, you're going to pray. And everything by prayer, looking to God. With prayer and supplication, you're going to look to God so that God already knows, but you're going to give it to God like you would. You hand it over to him, and you're going to hand God, this is my problem, God. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm worried about. This is what I'm going to be anxious about. This is what I'm troubled about. And you're going to give that to God, supplication. And in verse 6, you're going to do it with, always with thanksgiving. Remember we shared it last time. So every time you practice saying thank you, your mind stops, if you do it, right? Thank you to not just the word, thank you, God. Thank you, God, in the light of his presence, thank you. And that immediately short circuits all thoughts in your head. Stop. And you do that so they can't get you. The thoughts are there, but right now you're looking to God with thank you. And that's foremost in your mind right now. All the other things are there to worry about, but that's right there with thanksgiving. And you do that and keep doing it. So every time it comes, just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And after a while, not very bit, you'll be able to do that when you're in the street, when you're in the car, driving down the road, going to school. It'll just happen. That's how you're going to master casting down every high thought that seeks to exalt itself. Right down. And you'll enjoy the benefits. But you got to do it. And it isn't some little game. It's really the world you're dealing with us. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, point. And the peace of God. The peace that belongs to God. He is the author of it, the administrator of it. He's the owner of it. It's his. He manages it. His peace, his wholeness, his shalom, his absolute wholeness, health, wealth, safe, secure, perfect in everything. And the peace of God, which passes, that means over and above, beyond, out of reach, far beyond your reach, surpasses every understanding, surpasses all comprehension, is over and above and beyond. That means what? That you cannot. It surpasses. It passes all understanding. So therefore, you're not going to be able to sit down and get a handle on it, put it in your pocket, pull it out and look at it. You can read the statement of God, my peace is like a river, my righteousness is the waves of the sea. You can read those. Then you'll have to just experience them. That's all. There's no way to grab it. No way. You're dealing with God's person, his peace. Thus, all that God would do for us in and of himself, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The peace of God, verse 7, chapter 4. The peace of God which passes all understanding, all comprehension, all ability, beyond, above, and beyond. There's no way. All we can do is enjoy it. That's all we can do is experience it. Shall keep, shall get, what shall it do? What does the peace of God do? It keeps, it guards, like a military word. It puts a wall up, a fence, a shield. It guards, a sentinel, always on duty, never rests, never sleeps, always there. God's always there. Always there, any hour, day, minute, whatever, God is there in his wonderful person and presence. Perfect peace. How so, God? God, here we are. That's right. And all the countries of the world are doing what they're doing. All the cities of the world, that's all going on. All the bad and all the good. The poverty and heartache and headache and war and confusion, conflict. Our God, we're right in the middle of it. God said, I know that. Disease and death, doubt, dismay, disappointment, discouragement, depression. We're right in the middle of it. God said, I know. I know that. I want you to know that I'm totally at peace. There is no, I am undisturbed, untroubled in every way. There's nothing going to, that you're going to show me that has happened in history, that will happen in history, that is happening now. There's nothing anywhere, anyhow, by anyone, in any place that disturbs me. I'm at peace. God said that that is the peace I want you to have. I want you to enjoy my peace. John 14:27, etc. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but what? I give unto you my peace. I give it to you. Give it to me, like your joy. Do you understand what I gave you? No. Who understands? It's beyond us. Sure it is. That's because it's from me, from God. And so, God, here we are, and we're looking for you to keep us with guard our hearts. So in the troubled world in which we live, with all the trauma and everything else, turmoil, God, you aren't disturbed. No. Everything going on in my heart right now, in my life, are you disturbed? No, I'm not. I want you not to worry about that. I want you to make sure you understand that I know all that. And I want you to come to me with thanksgiving. And in quietness and confidence, I want you to be strong. That's what I want you to do. Oh, that's all? And I don't want you to follow the example of Israel, or they wouldn't do it. They said, that's impossible. No one can have that. Do you know what the terrible tragedy of that is that it bounces through my mind? Do you know that the average human doesn't want God's peace? What I just tried to describe for you, the average human being does not want that. They would rather have rumblings and trouble than they would that. How do you know that? Because in the tribulation, that is what they say. They would rather have, and Israel said it, God, you keep what you've got. We're going to keep what we've got and be like the nations. And of course, that isn't the way to go. So now, here is God. Here we are looking. And we're looking for God to deal with our hearts. God, here we are. And you know, God, that we have all the hours if we have them ahead. One little special thing is on Sunday night if we make it. And we want to be very conscious of all of it, but including that. So that we're looking for God to do that, like you did with the Dorcas. And you're looking for God. That's right. Now, God, how are we going to approach that? There's all kinds of things we don't have. If we had a 50-piece orchestra, the choir would have to sit out there, you see. Now, if we had all of that, but we don't have nothing. We're just nobodies. That's all. Oh, yeah. God, we don't have it. Boy, if we could just get the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I mean, they're big, big stuff, you know. But we don't have that. No. We just have you. That's right. By the way, I don't remember any, and you know this, I just don't remember the Lord Jesus saying, when he was on the Sermon on the Mount, remember? He said, bring the organ and the piano. We're going to have a sing time before. Do you remember that? Do you remember anywhere that they ever did anything except preach? You won't find it. That's what they did. What do you think helps people? Remember, take time. Remember years ago, I told you this 100 times, in New York City in the 40s and that kind of thing. And they would line up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to go hear Calvary or whatever was church down there. 6 o'clock. To get a seat for the morning worship. Not to sing and not to have a big fanfare, just to hear the Bible. Do you understand that? Whatever happened to that era? See? Just to hear the Bible, to get a seat. Not a seat to a rock concert. A seat to hear God's word. And all kinds of things like that. Wow, it's a different day. Yes, God, but you aren't any different. No, you're going to help us. That's right. Because are you disturbed about our anything? No, I'm not. God said, I'm not. Therefore, God, we aren't going to count on our cleverness or our efforts or our energies or our resources or our ability, God, because when it's all done, without you, it's going to be nothing at all. And don't, God, you're going to have to keep us in perfect peace. And you're going to have to help us understand that we aren't going to understand. So we're just going to be able to look to you, God, with no explanations, no way, gimmickry to come up with something, God. No, God, we're just going to be able to rest in returning and rest in quietness and confidence. We're going to be still and know that thou art God. And you're going to be able to go and do a wonderful thing in our heart. God, we just want what you want. We want it the way you want it, when you want it, how you want it. You are perfect at perfect peace. And my heart, if I will allow my heart to look to you, I will share because of the person of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, who will produce the fruit, one of the fruit, love, joy, what? Peace. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to produce peace. And it isn't anything we do. It isn't love we do, or joy we do, or peace we do. No, it's just allowing you to tranquilize the heart. Now, either we do it or we don't. To say, how's the thing going? I don't know how it's going to go. I have no idea. And I'm hoping that all your flyers will be gone, and we won't have to even think about your flyers, or the people, or the choir. And I don't want, no one in the choir would be saying, I hope the Lord doesn't come till after I sing. You don't want to say that, you know. No, you're looking for God. That's right. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Therefore, in the light of that, and keep their heart, your heart and mind, verse 7, through Jesus Christ. That's how God is going to be the sentinel to protect, to guard, and everything that challenges, everything that would challenge that relationship, the peace of God will protect you. The peace of God, that's Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is resting down on, and God said, you stay there, but it, the trouble, and there's no trouble. There's no trouble, Gideon. There's no trouble anywhere. You are going to succeed in a very troubled world. I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. I didn't come to make the world nice. I came to give you something that will honor and glorify me. And that is when you learn to trust me and allow me to be who I am. That's when I'm honored. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for saints to be saintly. I'm looking for believers to believe. I'm looking for believers to exercise my presence, power, the peace I give. And thus, that kind of peace is going to be guarded. It's going to guard us holy, heavenly, the holy, heavenly sentinel, challenging anything and anyone that would disrupt your peace. That's why you can't worry about anything. Why not? It's against the rules. It's against the rules. But I got to worry. No, you don't. You can think about it and be concerned. There's no question if you go into McDonald's and you're going to get, and you're looking to see what to get, and you only have $1.50, obviously you wouldn't order something that's $3. You'd have to think you only have $1.50. Now, if you have a, don't, you'll laugh at me. They keep saying, is this a debit or whatever? And I said, I have no debits. I don't know what they are, debts, whatever they are. You know, nothing doing. Here's a dollar. You know, God, we're going to look to you. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to use our common sense, but we aren't going to think about it in the wrong way. No, not at all. And thus, God, we're going to unite our little head and heart, thankfully, with your person, with your power, with your peace. We're going to look to you, God, and rest in you. God, I don't know how it's going to go, but God, we're going to do everything we can, but we aren't going to let it. All the pieces are together, God. I don't have the pieces. You do. And thus, God, you are not troubled in a very troubled world, getting in more trouble than ever. And the tranquility that you have, the peace that you have, I want that tranquility to find its home in my heart. That's what I'm looking for, God. That's what I'm looking at. You told me I have to have that. Thou would keep him. You'd said if I would trust you, you said you'd give me your peace. I am obligated to have your peace. Therefore, that peace of God is going to do what? It's going to transform my mind. And you know from Romans 12:2, be transformed by the, not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know the good and perfect will of God. So what are we doing? We're thinking right, and that's the whole thing, to think right, to be able to handle life's situations. And we're given a heavenly position to work from, that we can handle everything underneath. Heavenly position to work from, to handle everything underneath. Full of trouble. But from heaven's viewpoint, from God's viewpoint, tranquility. It isn't reasonable. It doesn't make sense. Except God said, my peace transcends all understanding. I have all the pieces. See? So we rest. We're learning to rest and look to God in a most wonderful way. So may the God of peace grant you the peace which belongs to God, producing a tranquilized heart, which removes all the trouble of the world and puts it in right perspective so that we don't see it wrong. We don't think about it wrong. And thus we benefit immediately in a world in great trouble. God, here we are. Therefore, remember as we shared, don't doubt your beliefs. Don't believe your doubts. Don't believe your doubts. Won't do it. Don't be doubting your doubts. Don't doubt your beliefs. If you're resting on what God said, then do it. Do it. He never told you to understand it all. We just read you can't understand it. How can I put the pieces together? They're immense. Awesome. Like we did on Sunday with all of them. Wow. God, thou will keep them in perfect peace. Mm-hmm. Therefore, don't doubt in the darkness what you know in the light. Don't do that. And when everything seems kooky, just read. Open God's word and rest in it. He didn't ask you to work it out for him. God does that. God works out your salvation. You work at it. But verse 13 of Philippians, it is God which what? Worketh in you. See? You make the little effort. And God gives the, you read it in Isaiah. You make the effort and God gives the strength. Gives the strength. I don't have any. But you don't have it till you didn't exercise. That's why all the martyrs and all of them in history why they could, you could say, how could martyrs be burned and eaten like that? Like with a song in there, literal song. Because that's called God's dying faith. God gives that. You do your part, and God gives you the faith. God gives you the encouragement. God gives you the strength that you need. And that's what God does. My and oh, it does say it. I'm trying to think. I'll get to close with it. I think Paul had that experience for us. The Lord Jesus said, my strength, my grace is sufficient for your weakness. No? My grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. See. Anyway, I appreciate it. I hope you got a little bit mumbling, you know.